Well, this is good to be here. Scott and I, we've been friends for a lot of years. We lectured together up at the John Birch camps up in Wyoming and up in northern Utah for about 15 years. We used to sleep in the same room until he couldn't stand my snoring anymore, and then he got himself relocated. But we still think alike, even if we don't sleep alike, you know. But he's been a good friend for a lot of years, and I was glad when he said, why don't you come over and talk a little bit too? I'm on the Orem City Council. I've been there almost 2 years now, and I wanted to talk for a few minutes about how you can apply things like constitutional law, moral law, to city government. One of my city council members that I've talked with a number of times, fortunately she was beat in this last election. Mary, you're not here, are you, to hear that? I guess not, but anyway, when I'd talk about this stuff, or some of my friends would get up and talk about it at the city council meeting, they would refer to the Constitution. And she'd always say, well, that has nothing to do with what we're doing here in the city. Why do you even bring up the Constitution? And she forgot that 4 years ago when she was sworn in, she swore to uphold the Constitution of the federal government, the state of Utah, and the local ordinances. And I thought, sister, you have forgotten what you swore to do. You don't know why you did it. But there is a moral law that you can come up with. Most people can't draw a line between the proper and improper role of government. And it's just exciting to sit up there with a whole bunch of other people and watch these 6-1 votes roll by. Their six and my one. And their six and my one. And I'm the butt of a lot of jokes. I know they're holding meetings without me now because they keep saying things that they had agreed to or voted on that I wasn't there. Maybe that the reason they've done that is I kept complaining about these secret meetings we hold. So they don't invite me to their secret meetings anymore. Things are real quiet if you don't have somebody there to cause you trouble. But what I'd suggest you do is you people, you think right. You wouldn't even be in this crowd if you didn't think right. You wouldn't be caught among us. And I would suggest that you, if you can do it, figure out how to run for your own city council or a state legislature. Some people think that you go to Washington and then you get corrupt and go stupid and you don't know the Constitution. Well, it starts right here in your city councils. This is where they get accustomed to thinking they're smarter than the average bear. This is where it starts, right at the lowest level. And it's sad to see it happen. I ran for office 3 times and finally won the 4th time. So don't get discouraged. Just keep going at it. I'd suggest, though, it does cost money. So what you might do in your own cities is try and find some friends that think like you do and start planning right now. Start planning right now to get people elected who think right. One of the things the opposition does is they campaign year-round. They go around and get all kinds of people to sign up to vote, absentee. And they'll get their votes turned in. They get about 25% of the votes are turned in before the rest of you even show up. And you know who a lot of those people are? Well, in my city, it's city employees, their friends, people that want certain taxes passed. They want the city government to be doing certain things that you and I would not want done. And in city elections, when I ran 2 years ago, you had 8% of the voters show up in the primary. You had 17%, just under 17%, show up in the general. And if you have 590 city employees and they have a spouse, there's 1,200 votes. If they've got a best friend, a neighbor, a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, you can run up 2,000 or 3,000 votes. I won with a little over 5,000 votes. When you realize over half the people that are voting in your city elections have a vested interest, or they have a friend or a relative who has a vested interest, You can see why your city is often run like this. I've had people say, how come that beautification committee guy talks like that? How come the head of the CDBG fund talks like that? Well, guess who gets to appoint those people? Guess who's appointing your neighborhood and action chairs? It's a very tight-knit group. One of the people I was talking to said, who got her in the CDBG funds? I said, well, her brother or her sister is married to a city attorney. And we started looking it over, and you find out it is a very tight-knit group that often runs these cities, and they can get away with it because there are not enough people who know what's going on in their city, and therefore they don't show up. They say, you know, if I go vote, I'll probably do more damage than good. I don't know who's worth voting for out there, and so they stay home. But you better find out, because they spend a lot of your money, and you can't just trust they're going to do a good job. Well, I'll roll through some things here. I'd like you to run. I was very fortunate. I got a good daddy who started me out way off to the right. I've got most of my friends never started out like I did. They think just like I do, but they didn't have my daddy. They got there without my daddy. But anyway, these are things that my father taught me. Where we have elected people, a society's political philosophy is based on the combined moral values of that society. So if you've got people that are promoting kill the babies, gay marriage, socialism, ad infinitum, all the rest of it, that's indicative of the moral basis of the society. And so my dad used to teach me, any political philosophy which is to win must be fought for passionately. To be fought for passionately, it must be found in the depths of one's moral and religious convictions. And when you see a nation doing a lot of things our nation is doing, you realize that it's not based on what you and I would call moral convictions. It's not what you and I would call religious convictions. There are things that you'd say the Antichrist is winning. He's doing a great job. He's destroying private enterprise. He's destroying faith. He's destroying the family. He's destroying a man's sense of self-worth or his sense of obligation to take care of a wife and children. I wanted to go through some wins and losses I've experienced on the Orem City Council. Here's one that I just won 2 weeks ago. I don't know how many of your cities have Merry Christmas put up on their city wall. Ours hasn't. We had a meeting two nights ago, and nobody could remember it ever being up. The furthest anybody could remember was we had Happy Holidays up. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I said, I don't like that Happy Holiday sign. I think we ought to change it to Merry Christmas. And I'm ticked off because of things I see going on with our courts. And this is kind of my pushback. Well, nobody moved. Nobody said anything. A lot of their jaws dropped. The city attorney, what did he say? You know? Because they don't like this type of stuff. Most city attorneys, they try to find a desk to hide under whenever something like this comes up. The last thing they want is Christ to even be mentioned because they're afraid they might have to go fight. So you throw in the towel. Our city attorney threw in the towel years ago. My son was on the city council over in Orem 15 years ago. He was 21, youngest elected official in the history of the state of Utah. Love that boy. Especially going back to the old city minutes. You know that kid votes just like I do? That was so smart to say all those family prayers and family home evenings, they were worth it. He figured it out. But I was talking to him about this, what I wanted to do. And he told me that the city attorney, when he was on the city council, my son was there 15 years ago, at one point suggested that they not pray anymore in city council meetings. And so he said, they looked at him and said, well, we'll just keep on praying. But Paul, thank you. Thank you for your thoughts. I don't know if you watch the news, but back in Washington, D.C., on the docket right now, the Supreme Court is deciding in the next few months whether or not we can pray in our city council meetings anymore. There's a little town called Greece, New York, and a couple of atheists who don't like Christians. They never go to city council meetings. Who goes to city council meetings? Nobody goes to city council meetings. Hardly anybody.
I'm not a nobody.
Okay, well, you're with me then. I'm not talking to you. It's those other people that don't go. You're with me, but... But anyway, a couple of atheists showed up just so that they could give those people that prayed at the beginning of those meetings back there a bad time. And now it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court, and they're going to decide whether or not we can even pray in city council meetings anymore. So this was kind of my pushback. Well, anyway, nobody got excited when I said it. And so I said to them, I'll pay for it. That made it a little harder for them to sit there and say nothing. So anyway, I've been building the sign. When I got through, I went over to see the city guy who works for Public Works. That's where the sign was. He said, oh, you can just have this. We don't need it anymore. And he had heard what I was doing. And I think the 2 years I've been in there, I've had two city employees say thank you for taking this on. Thank you for doing this. That's in almost 2 years. That's when I heard somebody say it who I thought meant it. And these people don't like me, because when they were going to get a 2% pay increase, it started out a 6-1 vote. Nope, we can't afford it. You're trying to raise taxes at the same time you're trying to give raises, and we can't afford it. So nobody liked me, because I was the first one that said, no, until we get our house in order, we're not giving anybody raises. So I became mud a long time ago. But anyway, he thanked me, and I could see in his eyes he meant it. And he went on to say, you know, the reason we have this happy holiday sign is because we don't want to offend people. We don't want to interfere with, you know, their lack of belief. And he didn't like it himself, but he wasn't the man in charge. The city council was in charge. But he said, thank you. And then he said, why don't you just take this? I said, okay, I'll take it. So anyway, I went and got me a welder. And he cut that thing up. It doesn't say Happy Holidays anymore. It says Merry Christmas. We bought all new lights, and it's really going to look nice. When you drive by over in city here after Monday night, you can see that. And I just praised my city council on my radio show this morning, on and on, telling them what a wonderful thing had happened, that we had unanimously voted to put Merry Christmas up on our city wall. Pardon? Well, that's what was funny. Here's the part I didn't tell them on the radio this morning. See, what I did after I got through with getting this side, well, I've got both of them done, but anyway, I emailed them Tuesday in the morning, and I said, I've got a second sign I want to put up too, right below the first one. It's, he lives. And I emailed him and I said, now, you're fortunate, if you agree with me on this, that most gods are men. The devil is a man. Allah is a god, is a man. Buddha, he's a god, he's a man. And so I said, when they drive by, if they see he lives up there right below Merry Christmas, they can think about their god. And then when I emailed him, I got a little funny. I said, now, if they don't like that, suppose they don't believe in any god at all. I said, I'll put down in the corner, these letters are 32 inches high. It's a pretty good sized sign. It's 40 feet long. It'll be up there on the wall. And I said, I'll super glue a quarter down in the corner. And if anybody asks, it's a total non-believer, then you can tell them that's just a display rack for coins. That's all it is. And it says, in God we trust, on the coin. I said, I'm going to put that on there too, you know. Anyway, some of the city councilmen thought that was pretty good, but the city attorney, he didn't think my sense of humor was up to snuff. So anyway, he said, no, we don't do that. He said, now, if you will guarantee the city that you'll indemnify the city for all lawsuits, if we put this he lives up there, he said, then we could discuss it. But otherwise, I said, well, I don't have that kind of money. I figured it'd take them 2 years, 3 years to come and make us take it down anyway. And we just take it down, not lose any money. But anyway, you can have fun on the city council if you go after it, and that's First Amendment right, religious freedom, do it in your city. If you come over there Monday night on the 25th, 6 o'clock, you're going to see Merry Christmas light up. And if I can get this friend of mine who has a big enough truck to do it, you'll see this, he lives out on the street. All lit up with a generator attached to it. But it'll be out in the street. It won't be up on the wall. I couldn't get it up on the... I'm still trying to get a nativity scene put up, though. I heard tonight from a guy who studied this, if I'll put three reindeer behind the nativity scene, I can put Christ up there, too. But I haven't got that far yet. So, but I'm working on it. I told some of my friends, I said, if we can get this up there in Orem City, then other cities may pick it up too. Maybe some of your cities already have it. Ours doesn't. Every year when I've driven by that Happy Holiday sign, I just get mad inside. When I'm on the city council, I can say something about it now. And as long as I pay for it, nobody's, I mean, it was funny to watch this. Yeah, you should have been there. When we were talking about it, nobody would say anything. It was the funniest thing. Can you imagine sitting around a bunch of people and you're discussing both of these and nobody will say a thing? It's kind of like, do you think they'll put it in the minutes that I agreed with Hans Andersen on Christmas or Christ, he lives? All of them. Yeah. No. They never know where I'm coming from, though. I mean, it's fun to be on a city council. You can do it. Okay, here's another one. This is one I lost on. I made a resolution encouraging family members to have weapons in the city. That was done over in your city. They lost, too. I put it up, but they lost, I lost. But anyway, this isn't one where you force people to carry guns. This is one where you encourage them to do it. You have different types of resolutions. This is actually my stepson. I use this just because it was a fun little thing. I used this at a city council meeting one time when I was trying to teach him about we don't collect funds by force for charity. We don't do that because they have these charitable things they like to do, you know, even the city funds too. And so most of them over there LDS, you know, they've all been deacons. And so I've told them, would your bishop send your deacon out dressed like this? Because that's what the government does. If they don't think you've given enough, you're going to get more. Anyway, that's just a fun thing. I did that at the city council, too. You can have fun at these meetings if you work at it. That's Photoshop and a stepson. It portrays what's going on. Okay, here's another one. This is the Fourth Amendment. The cities quite often zone things. Over in Orem, for 40 or 50 years, we've had an area down along Geneva Road where we have junkyards, recycle yards, used car parts, all this type of stuff. Well, anyway, Vineyard got a $150 million RDA if they can get businesses to go down there. Well, the front yard, the front street that comes right through Vineyard is Geneva Road. And so our poor folk... Well, they're not poor folk. Those people have money, too. But anyway, the people we've treated like poor folk, we've said, you've got to run down there on Geneva Road. You know, you got to be. You can't be in the middle of town. We've got to stick you down there. Well, now, our city manager and the people there have made friends with those people down there in Vineyard, and they want us to clean out that whole area, upgrade the zone. That's what they wanted to do. And... this was going to be another 6-1 vote. That's where this was headed. And I complained about, you have not even told these people about it. And they, well, we ran an ad in the paper. That's all the state law requires us to do. I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. You give me the addresses of everybody in these new zones. They don't even know about it. Well, anyway, I sent out 371 letters to all these businesses, started calling them, talked to some people down there. The next city council meeting, we had a crowd. We had a crowd. And these people showed up, and they were mad. Oh, I just loved it. You know what happened then? This is bad humor. I told my wife one day, more than a few months ago, I said, you know, there must be something evil in me that I never knew was there till I got on the city council. Because I said, one man should not enjoy causing this many people this much trouble. But I do. I mean, I just thrive on it. But anyway, I sent out these 371 letters to all these businesses. A whole bunch of them showed up. And they started yelling, what are you doing to us? People out here flashing a little money, and you're doing this? Well, it's funny to watch people kind of melt. Hard hearts can melt if you get enough mad people. And anyway... this was one of my wins. We went from a 6-1 vote to a 3-3 vote because one of them owned property down there. And so he couldn't vote, and so he walked out. that was sweet. Then I only had to get two more, you know. But anyway, when these other people showed up, but this was another win. We stopped them. And I've asked, when are you going to bring that back again? You know, we've got a split vote there, you know. Well, they're scared now. You get enough people moving, you can change things. Here's another one I did I lost. This is another one I think was done over here in Highland where they tried to get legal tender. 2 years ago, a fellow named, Larry Hilton, is it? Yeah, Larry Hilton. He got the law changed in Utah where you don't have to accept gold or silver coin, but it's legal for you to accept gold and silver coin. Well, I tried to get our city to accept gold and silver coin, and all they said was, oh, that's too hard. That's too hard. But I think it's interesting. Here's your constitution. No state shall coin money, bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. And Utah figured that out in 2011. The constitution figured it out in 1787. But Utah finally got up to speed. Now I'm trying to get Orem City up to speed. But anyway, this is another thing they kind of laugh at you, but you can teach the constitution right there, even though they have no idea what you're talking about. Here's one. Have you all heard of Utopia? Most of you cities don't have this. You're very fortunate. Because our city thought they could undersell Comcast and X-Mission and Xfinity and, there's a bunch of them. Our city thought, we can go in, we can undersell, and we can make money on it. Well, this thing's the biggest pit the city's ever gotten into. But anyway, one thing about the city getting off course like this is that in the election 2 years ago, we got from 8 to 17% in the primary and the general election. This time it went from 17 to 24. You can wreak havoc. You can get the newspapers to talk about this stuff, and you can start saying this is immoral. Business has no... And you know, almost everything the government does, it fails at it. Everything they do, it's just right there for target practice. If you dig it out, find out how much it costs, you start talking to your citizens about it. Here's what we did. Before I was on the city council, I figured out that Orem City was short about $3.5 million. And you know what they told the taxpayers about it? Nothing. Not one word. And when I was talking about it during my campaign, about these people going to raise your taxes or cut your services, all the rest of them just sat there, just looked around. What's he talking about, you know? Just a political guy out there throwing mud, no reason for it. Well, 6 days after I was sworn into the Orem City Council, they called me into a 7:30 in the morning meeting. And they said, darn, we're about $3.5 million short. I'd estimated $10, and they came up with $9.58 they were short. That's pretty good for Kentucky Windage. Of course, I'm a CPA, so I got a little head start on some of this money stuff. But I had emailed the mayor and the city council December 26. I said, you guys are going to try and raise people's taxes, and I want to let them vote on it. Well, anyway, at this early morning meeting that I went to, they had confidential stamped on it. Don't talk about this stuff. And so I started talking about it. And so I got called in by the mayor and another city councilman. What are you doing? And I said, well, mayor, I said, I was talking about this on my radio 3 months before I was even elected. So I said, I knew it before it was supposed to be a secret. And I was already talking about it. So that confidentiality doesn't apply to Hans Anderson. Oh, okay. But anyway, we did a referendum. The city blew our first 21 days. We had to get 3,129 signatures. That's 10% of the number of people who voted in the last presidential election. We got 5,000 signatures. Got in about 3 weeks. Another 6-1 vote on a property tax. Well, people don't like that, especially when they're sneaking up on you, because I can go around and say all day, they're sneaking up on you. They're not going to tell you about it. They're going to get elected, and then they're going to take your money. You better do something about it. So anyway, we got this many signatures, and we stopped them cold. Now, that's a win. That's a win. And we raised such a stink, they said, well, let's just raise it $1.7 million instead of $3.4 million. I said, no, I'm not going to buy that. It's zero. Zero. You let these people vote on these tax increases. Well, anyway, we won. Here's another one. When we were holding these tax hearings, I used to send these out to my friends that were there in Orem, making fun of myself here. This is fun to do. He stood alone June 19th. That's when we held the last vote on the property tax increase and all the other stuff. Will he buckle and fold August 14th? Join us for high drama, the final episode of your taxes. Bring signs, flyers, popcorn. Speak for 3 minutes. Your voice is needed. 91 people showed up. And there are about five of them that wanted a tax increase, and they're all city employees. And the rest were just plain mad. Well, anyway, that was... You can do things on a city council if you get going. You can enjoy yourself. Here's another one. You hear about the federal government runs taxes up and borrows money up the gazoo? Look at this. The federal government debt has risen 307% over the last 15 years. Can you believe that? Yeah. That's true. I just ran the numbers. got off that counter off the internet. 307% the last 15 years, 15.5 to 17.1. Well, let me show you Orem City. Yeah, it's worse. Who'd believe it? Orem City's debt the last 15 years gone up 430%. And our population's gone up 6%. Went from 25 million to 109 million. We have 9 new parks. We got a new public safety building. You know, new court. They just keep spending. You know, when you're spending other people's money, you can just have a field day all day long. You can just do it. And that's what our city's been doing. So anyway, this is... Another thing you'll find is that there's traditional spending, streets, sewer, water. For the crowds out there, you have to throw in parks and libraries. But anyway, this is what we'd call traditional spending. What's happened the last 15 years, they've gotten into spending money on all kinds of things they have no business being in at all. And so you start teaching that. This is a truth in taxation hearing. This is me. See me? I'm smiling. See these other guys? They're not smiling. This is that meeting, 91 people showed up, and they're starting. They're lined up here. A friend of mine took that picture. He said he couldn't hold himself back. He saw me up there smiling, everybody else madder than a pistol, you know, and here we go. These are my friends lined up. He got them up there. Anyway, I'm done. But anyway, city councils, they're just people. Get your friends, get a little money together, and get out there and start teaching people. You can have fun on the city council, and you can teach them correct principles. All you have to do is stand up. Just stand up and start speaking, and you'll probably be better at it than I am, because I'm kind of a, frankly, scarlet. I'm going to blast away, tell you what I think, and... But they're good people. Every one of them are. They just don't think like you and me. And the reason they spend like they spend is they're just like Washington, D.C. They do not understand the moral basis of a free society. They don't understand the proper role of government. So get in there and help them and teach your fellow citizens. They're good people. Scott, I overdid it. I didn't go as long as you said I could go, though, so I'm feeling good about that.